And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. I thought about bringing a martini shaker and making myself a martini with three olives and a real extra dry, just to make sense of what I'm going to say to you this morning. Yeah, you'll all need one. About 25 years ago, I had a fascinating opportunity to visit a grave or series of graves that had been opened by the chief archaeologist of the province of Quebec. It happened when I was president of the region of Quebec in the United Church, and we had a small, at one point, a Presbyterian church which was disbanded and turned over to the local town of St. Eustache, about an hour of a north of Montreal. That was in the late 70s. And just en passant, on the way through, in Quebec, we have closed over 50% of our churches in the last 25 years. And the demographic outlook for the next 25 years is devastating. Unless we in the 70s gifted this building to the town, but the building, which was a little historic stone church, if the town were to make any changes to the actual building, they needed permission from the church, and the town was wanting to extend the building to turn it into a center for arts and performance. That meant that the founders of the town and the church, these early Presbyterians from the 1750s, primarily one family, needed to have their graves opened and what remained of them moved to another location. It was all very interesting stuff. And the graveyard was sectioned off with a high wire fence that people could come and watch the archaeological dig. And I used to go every day up to the dig to see what was going on and what they had found. And I became known as Monsieur Curé, you know, the priest, the English priest. From behind the wire fence, there was often remarks about being an English priest. Until the archaeologist would remind them that I was the priest and they were to shut up with their rudeness. I was given full access to the site because I was Monsieur Curé, and so much so they wouldn't open the wooden coffin unless I was present by my request. And one early morning I arrived and we gathered in this dry earth along the side of the church, and the final board was removed, and there staring back at us was the lifeless skull of the head of the household. I remember mostly his buttons. All his clothing was gone, but he must have been a man of some influence, because if his buttons were made out of wood or bone, they would have been dissolved. But he had little metal buttons that were still there. And there were four other sets of remains from his family that were removed and taken to Quebec City for study and eventual reburial in a local cemetery. Just en passant, the difference between a churchyard and a cemetery is a churchyard is as it is, has to be attached to a church. A cemetery is freestanding. The study that I was given by the chief archaeologist a year and a half later told the story of what kind of health they were in when they died, from their bones, and their teeth told us all about the diet that they had consumed in their daily rounds. They were what I would call graveyard dead. which is different than seeing a body. I've been in ministry for over 42 years. I've seen lots of bodies. But this was not that. Nor was that great valley that was full of dry bones that Ezekiel described in his prophecy that Larry read so eloquently for us. Did you listen to the description of Ezekiel being led around the valley and being asked, "Can these bones live?" They were very dead and dry and brittle. And once where there was bone marrow, there was now only dust. It was a hopeless situation. And all life was cut off from them, and human imagination had ceased to exist with them. And the Lord says to Ezekiel, "Speak to these bones and say to them, I will cause my ruach, my spirit, my breath, my life force, my wind to come upon them." Now, ruach, the Hebrew word, is a very important word, probably the most important word in Hebrew, because without it, nothing that was made could be made. At the very time of creation, God sent forth his ruach into the universe, and in the 6 days of creation, after each one, he declared that it was good. And on the seventh day, as we do on the seventh day today of the week, God declared that when all of creation was finished, it was very good. There's none of that terrible Augustinian theology that has contaminated our church thinking for centuries, where we are born sinners. Here in the very early opening verses of the scriptures, we learn that we are good and meant to be good. It was ruach at the time of creation who entered the earth creature Adam, and when the breath of God entered him, he became alive and he stood up on his pegs for the very first time. And repeatedly in the Testament of the Scriptures, and particularly in the New Testament, as people are called back to life, ruach is present, that active agent in the world that gives us life. High above me here, we have the depiction of the Spanish painter El Greco of the 16th century. And here, the ruach, the Spiritu Santo of God, comes to us in tongues of fire and a dove. You can see the little flames dancing above their heads there. Remember, the dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, as I prefer to refer to the power of God. Throughout the entirety of the scriptural story, it is this nature of this God, it is this part of God that emboldens, enlivens, and renews the church through each of its successive generations, down to our own day, down to this morning. Here we are no different than that motley crowd that assembled on that first day of Pentecost thousands of years ago. The early church left us a very special record of people from all over the region and countries, with people who could, and through the power of the Spirit, understand each other and communicate in their own languages even faster than an app on your iPhone. Like this morning, we have people from Lewisburg. We have people from Advocate, or Advocate, depending on what part of the area you come from there. We have people from the South Shore, the farms of New Brunswick, the wild expanses of the prairies. Did I say wild? I meant to say wide expanses of the prairies. That may be wild, too. To the mountains of Alberta and BC, from all over the world this morning. If we did a roll call here of various languages, there would be over a dozen spoken just here in this sacred place right now. Just think of it. Not to mention the international languages that we speak that cross borders. We use the language of music in the church all the time. And some of us speak the international language of love, which I'm particularly good at. All joking aside, it is the Ruach that calls us to this time and this place as we in the United Church face a bleak future. Statistically, our own studies show us a rapid decline and that our own existence is now in jeopardy. We are working to a project called 2035 in the church, which is to take an accounting of where we are and where we might go. As a denomination, now I can say these things because I'm retired. As a denomination, suffice to say, the lifeless bones of the valley of the dead that Ezekiel saw are like the lifeless bones in St. Eustache. And if we were to do an analysis of our spiritual bones, what would that analysis look like? I wonder, in the United Church, if we would show a deficiency in studying our bones and teeth, if there was a substantial diet of study and reflection, of prayer, and God forbid, having and maintaining an actual, real, tangible relationship with God. What do we learn this morning as we walk around the valley of dry bones that are around us now? What do they tell us about our best spiritual practices? And how sincerely do we long for and reach for and pray for the gifts of the Spirit? Do we even speak about the gifts of the Spirit? Do we even remember the gifts of the Spirit, the seven great gifts of the Spirit? Remember love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. All the things the church is supposed to be about, and often we find the church is full of technocrats and bureaucrats and are far from the Spirit of the living God. What is our answer to the Lord this morning, who enters into our amalgamation conversations and questions and asks us, can these bones live? And are we willing? Do we have the guts and the determination and the tenacity to hear the rattling of the bones coming together and the skin and sinews being put on the flesh of the new church? Are we willing to fling wide the portals of God and invite the Spirit to come into our lives and come rushing into the new church? This Pentecost, Halifax United, as it is being born in the world, is going to have to be either Spirit-led and Spirit-fed, or we will simply join the ranks of many others who have simply lost the narrative of Christianity. Where are you, Great Spirit? Veni Sanctu Spiritu. Amen.